nice little plan, it's a nice little outline, but it can't be a life here, we're in the world. He's got work to get to go, no doubt. Anyway, how's everybody doing tonight? Good? Keeping warm? Vincent's in Cleveland, they were supposed to get an extra 1 to 2 feet today. On top of what they already had. We haven't heard from him yet. But he has the Subaru, so he'll be fine. And everybody comes home this weekend. Whole families are doing this weekend. That's what I'm saying.
So who hasn't seen Dominic and Vanessa Santino since they got back here?
Who hasn't seen them?
Yeah, have all the kids been to your house since they got back? Or?
Steven, because he's in Italy. But Steven saw them when he was over there.
Right there.
It's been a while. Since the end of July.
So is Steven going to be finished now? And is he coming home or is he having another 6 months?
I hope he's coming home. He's coming home, he's out of money. I got an email from him today. And the subject line just said money. I'm saving that one until tomorrow. Shall we say a prayer? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Father God, we thank you for all the blessings that you pour out so richly upon us. We thank you for this cold weather, reminding us of the warmth that we long for. We just thank you for all the blessings that you put in our lives, our friends, our family. We ask you to be with us in our time together tonight. Open our hearts, our minds, and our souls to your word. As you give me the lips of an angel to proclaim your word to those gathered here tonight. Just ask you to be with us. We thank you for this time that you give us together to share, to walk on our journey of faith together, and to come closer to you, knowing you and your fullness. We ask you to be with us and guide us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom. kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy.
Thanks, Tom.
Actually, I made the march. I might need you to do this. I need front and back. We brought the right stuff. I know that the first line that I have on the handout, because we're going to talk about sin tonight, and then we're going to talk about the Old Testament. I'm going to try something I've never done before. We're going to use some of the New American Bibles. And we're going to actually read from the Dogmatic Constitution on Divine Revelation. Three paragraphs. I was trying to think of how I could summarize the Old Testament in a half of a night session. And then I realized that in the Dogmatic Constitution, they summarize the Old Testament in three paragraphs. So I figured, why should I reinvent the wheel? The church has already done it, so we'll read those three, and we'll discuss those. But I know that the opening passages, I went to the catechism and was looking at sin. And it said, to understand sin, you need first to understand God's relationship with man. But you cannot understand sin until, and it gets back to creation, and you know, Mary did such a great job with creation last week, but that's kind of where we need to start. Before we can start to talk about sin, we need to talk about where we were before sin. So where were we before sin? In Genesis last week, what did we learn about creation?
It was good.
It was very good.
Man was very good.
It was very good. One step better than good. We were naked. Walking around in the garden naked. Something tells me we were still thin. Very good, yeah.
So. It wouldn't have
mattered
because
he
went innocent.
He
wouldn't have
innocent. He said, oh, you're so fat. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, you're so beautiful.
Yes, with his father Fred, we were talking on Saturday about the resurrection of the body. I'm always worried about that. Which one? The 17-year-old? But again, if we go back, and this has to be our starting point, some very important things about creation and Adam and Eve before the fall.
The image of Adam and Eve walking with God, that always touches me. Imagine the complete union, and the, not equality, but union, and just complete ease. Imagine walking with God, chatting in the evening. That's what it was like.
Mm-hmm. And that's what God had intended. And I think that's why when they talk about to understand sin, that's the same thing that I think about. Okay, is that we were walking with God. We were sharing our lives with God. What's heaven going to be like? Sharing our lives with God, walking with God for eternity. And we had it. We were there. Okay? And then sin entered the world. You can go ahead and pass those up. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Allison, for going over the
I'm sitting around there waiting for the cookies to finish, and yeah, I had all that time.
Thanks for the cookies, Allison. They're very cheap. Very homemade. Makes me feel like a nice time in the kitchen.
So again, rather than me paraphrase it, this introduction to sin, okay, I picked a lot of paragraphs, just picked them right out of catechism, as I do many times when I get to teach with something, because it's already there. The teaching is there. The question is, how do we apply it to our lives today? So the catechism at 386 says, to try to understand what sin is, one must first recognize the profound relationship of man to God. For only this relationship is the evil of sin unmasked in its true identity as humanity's rejection of God and opposition to Him, even as it continues to weigh heavy on human life and history. And so, you know, we can go back and we can read the fall of man. Everyone's familiar with the story. Who made the first sin? Eve? So I have a different reading of the fall of man. Because in Genesis chapter, where's the fall? Two or three? It didn't take too long. You have two chapters of man walking in the kingdom. The fall of man starts in three. Okay? But in two, into
16
is what I'm looking for. Here it is. Yeah. Into the Lord took the man and settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and care for it. The Lord God gave man this order: you are free to eat from any of the trees in the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and bad. From that tree you shall not eat. The moment you eat from it, you are surely doomed to die. And then, a little later on, he cast man into sleep and he created the woman. Who did God give the command to?
Adam.
It was Adam's responsibility to pass that on to the woman. Right? Woman was created later. Adam messed up. I mean, this is now pure speculation on my part, but I'm kind of figuring, because I know men, been a man all my life now, and I figure it kind of went like this. You know, God gave Adam this command, don't touch the apple. Okay, don't eat the apple. Okay, no problem. Then he creates woman, and man was just in awe. Adam was just in awe of woman. Okay, just watched her walk around the garden naked. And everything was wonderful. And she's walking around the garden, and everything's fine. And she starts getting close to the tree, and Adam gets nervous. All he had to do was convey to Eve the same message that God gave him. Everything's okay, right? But Adam doesn't want to spoil, doesn't want to get the woman mad at him or something. And so he doesn't say anything, and she gets a little closer, and Adam gets a little more nervous. She gets a little closer, and Adam gets a little more nervous, and she starts to reach it, and he says, don't touch that. God never said, don't touch that. He said, don't eat that. She says, don't touch that. And he changed, didn't convey the message properly. Okay, he just didn't convey it. Because later on, when the serpent tempts Eve, she says something different than what God commanded. What did she say? The woman answered the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. There's only the fruit of this tree in the middle of the garden that God said, you shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die. That's not what God said. She paraphrased it. Had to do with that touching. He said, God said don't eat it. Didn't say anything about touching it. But again, we stretch that out a little bit. We start to make our own law. And that's the thing that I read into that, is that Adam didn't just convey what God wanted. He added something to it. He stretched it a little bit. Okay? That's the beginning of sin. We start to change things. We start to rationalize, okay, what God wants, rather than just do what God tells us to do, or what God asks us to do.
That's the beginning of sin. Now, who made the choice and listened to the serpent? Eve did, and okay, and I'm not doing this to say that Eve was the evil one, this woman, or okay, the fact of the matter is mankind didn't honor what God had requested. Okay? And for all the men who think it was Eve's fault, I go back to that story that no, we probably blew it. We did not communicate properly. And all we need to do is communicate what God asks us to. Nothing more, nothing less. Don't change it. Okay, just pass on the word. Okay? So, sin enters the world. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on sin, but we could. I mean, we could talk all we want, and I won't stop that. If we want to talk about original sin, or if we want to talk about mortal sin or venial sin, we can. I gave you some highlights from the Catechism, and yes, there is still mortal sin and venial sin, okay? But let's start with original sin, because what happened when man and woman, when we, creation, mankind, decided to not do what God asked us to do, there were consequences to that. And the consequences was that walking with God in the kingdom ceased, okay, and Adam and Eve are ushered out of the garden, and that revolutionized the world. Okay, the world just been created, and we have man and woman walking with God, and then at some point in time, and again, there were no historians writing this down. This is okay being passed on through inspiration, but at some point in time, that life as God had intended it here on earth change. And it wasn't because of God's choice. It was because of man's choice. Okay? And again, in order to appreciate original sin, we have to understand the blessing that God gave us about this free will, this thing called free will. We talk about free will all night, too. But sin is an abuse of that freedom that God gave us. God could have very easily made Adam and Eve puppets. Okay, and he could have isolated the tree and made sure that they never touched it. Okay, but he didn't. He gave them, he gave us all this gift called free will. Thanks. Okay, because we always abuse it. And when we abuse it, that abuse of freedom, that's what sin is. Okay? Sin is the abuse of the freedom that God gives to a created person so that they are capable of loving God and loving one another. God did not want to create human beings who just worshipped Him as puppets. He created human beings so that He could love them and so that they could love Him back. And that's a voluntary response. And it's not a... You know, He didn't create us that we must do that. He gave us this free will. That says a lot about God. Okay, because if He was just a power-hungry God, okay, like you know, any emperor or something that we have throughout time, okay, you lay the law down and you enforce it. Okay? God's sitting here saying, you can choose, and He allows us to do that. Those of you who have raised children, okay, you know how hard that is. Let your kids make their own mistakes, and just sit back and watch it happen. Okay? And to love them anyway, and try your best to guide them, but at the end, to really love them, you have to give them their own choice. God gave us that choice. Original sin entered the world through that. It changed the nature of the relationship between mankind and God. God is now distant. He's not walking with us. Okay? He wants to draw us all back to Him. That's His desire. But original sin allowed evil to enter into the world. Allowed evil to have power. And there were some readings that I was going to do, and I kind of decided not to, and that was the devil. Okay, and Satan, and the fall of the angels, and the battle with the angels in heaven, and the angels were cast down to earth. That's in Revelation, the book of Revelation, which is where you read that. I also pointed out in Isaiah, do you remember what chapter it was? Where Lucifer is actually named?
14.
14th chapter of Isaiah.
There are evil spirits in the world. That we have to acknowledge that. Okay? God also created those spirits, but he created them good, but also gave them the ability to choose, and they chose evil. Okay? So evil comes to earth. Had Adam and Eve held firm, okay, against evil, they're still walking in the garden with God, okay, probably protecting them from the serpent, from evil. But that's not what happened. So it changed all of life. Okay. Some people have the concept that original sin means that we were born defective. Not the case. Okay. God did not make us defective. God put us into a world that has sin in it. Okay. And that's original sin. That we are born into a world that is prone and what's the right word? Capable of sinning. Okay. Has the ability to sin. Okay. And sin has power over us. Baptism claims us for Christ. It erases that original sin and brings us into the kingdom as God had intended it. Okay, again, original sin is one of those things that we struggle with sometimes. Okay, what does the Catechism say about here? Original sin is an essential truth of the faith. The doctrine, okay, which means it's one of those things we're bound to believe, and it is doctrine. The doctrine of original sin is, so to speak, the reverse side of the good news that Jesus is Savior of all men, that all need salvation, and that salvation is offered to all through Christ. One of the ways, when I read that, one of the things that I thought about is, if we don't have original sin, somebody out there may not need Jesus. And so the church concludes that all of us must have original sin, because otherwise what Jesus did wasn't necessary for someone, potentially. And the church can't get to that. I can't get to that either if you start to think about it a little bit. Okay? So again, it's not that we were born defective, okay, but it's that we're born into a world that is prone for sin, and us by ourselves are not going to get through it. We're not going to make our way through it. Us with God, yes, we can do that. Man walking with God can do that. We can avoid sin walking with God, but we're no longer walking with God because of that original sin. Adam and Eve's. Do you want to add anything to that or discuss that? That's usually a good discussion point.
Original sin.
Original sin.
One of the things that you have to keep in mind is that Jesus came to remove that original sin. And he did it by dying on the cross. Stop and think for a moment. You'd have to say, well, couldn't he have just kind of gone, you know, or I'll pour some water on your head, he'd have become cursed. That's what we have to do now. But it's more than that. You have to do more than that because of the nature of original sin. And you're right, it exists as part of this world. What is it? What is it specifically? Look in the Genesis story. What are they saying will happen to man? You will die. Right? Eat the tree. You will die. Guess what? You die. You can only be sure of one thing in this world, really, in solid terms, and that is, you're not going to get out of it alive. You'll live long enough, something's going to kill you. And so, man was born into a world of death. death is fear.
Death is
fear. If you look at the heart of any person, you see this. You can see this fear of death. Is death something to be feared? Has God punished us forever with death? The answer is no. Because if God were punishing us with death, he would have punished his own son. Because his own son came to die to remove that fear. To remove that fear that overpowers us, that can overpower our choice of good. Right? You can say to yourself, if I do this, I'll die. It's a good thing, but if I do this, I'll die. I don't want to die because it's this ultimate evil somehow or other that I want to avoid. And so, original sin is bound up with this entire fear. This fear that we are going to die. Jesus came and removed that fear. Yes, you're going to die, but guess what? You're going to live forever. Even though your body may die, I will raise it up from the grave. I will give you new life. That's his message. And if you weren't afraid of dying, he wouldn't have to say, I will give you new life, right? That would be a given, as it were. And so the message that he's coming with is, there is this sin. There is this knowledge of death that has come to you as part of this world. You can say it was part of evolution, you can say it was part of creation, but you can't say it's not there. And by his cross and his resurrection, he has removed that fear of death. Once you no longer have that fear of death, you see the vision of what's before you, and you can act on that vision. With that fear in front of you, you've heard of people saying you're blinded by fear, right? Remove that fear and you remove the blindness. Remove the blindness and you see the kingdom.
The absence of hope is a very powerful and dangerous thing.
Right.
What is the attraction of sin? Why do individuals choose to sin, choose towards sin?
I think it. One thing really always troubled me, I'm going to go all the way around answering your question, was the Lord's Prayer when it says that lead us not into temptation, the power of God leads to temptation, into temptation. And so, you know, there's a little bit of translation. Because what it does is it'll take you up to temptation. It's up to you whether you need to cross over and sin by doing something wrong. But he does that because win that little battle that makes you stronger in Christian faith. So the temptation is here, it'll take you right up to it, it won't push you over. That's up to you. So if you sin, you don't have that inner discipline that you want to have. That's not what happens. What if it was sin?
I said, what is the attraction?
I don't think it's the attraction, I think it's the lack of the discipline that wants to have.
Well, there's an attraction to it.
Sin can be, initially, it can be fun. It can feel good. It can give you, initially, great material reward, physical reward. I mean, at the moment, let's pick a sin, you know. Stealing, the initial theft, can give a person something they want, and they get it without paying for it.
Feeling of accomplishment.
Yeah, or a sexual sin can be immediately very rewarding, exciting, pleasurable. Gluttony, overeating, overdrinking.
Let's go back a second to that walking with God. Okay, is God a human being or a spiritual being?
Spiritual being.
Okay. You showed us. I talked about this circle, the Trinity. Okay. And you had this picture that's now on Bob's computer somewhere of this beautiful, you know, God up here and this Father down here and the Holy Spirit pouring out and Jesus pouring back a love. It's this complete circle of spirit and love and power. And God connected us to that. Okay, that same Trinitarian love. Okay, if we go back to the garden and think about times in the garden, man was a part of that too. Okay, and that love poured out upon us and came back. What sin is, okay, this is one way I've explained this, is when God is pouring out that love upon us, we have the ability to block that love and not receive it. Okay? To not accept the love that God gives to us. Again, those of you who have raised children, who went through those high school years, and your kid doesn't want to have anything to do with it, you can try to love them all you want to, all you possibly can, they're just not going to have anything to do with it. They block that. Okay? They're blocking that love from reaching us. We can also do it the other way, okay, that we don't love God back. Okay, we block that love. You know, maybe we take all of God's love, but we don't pour it back. Either way, sin is that break in that circle, that perfect circle that continues to pour love back and forth between God and mankind. We break that. Okay? What causes us to break that? Okay, this is where, and the catechism pushed me here, but this is, again, one of my many second favorites. It's in Galatians, and the things of the flesh, and we're fleshy people. So here come the list of sins, and just think about all these, okay, it's the point that you were getting to, okay, what makes us want to do these things? Well, here we go. The works of the flesh are obvious. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, that's without regard to the law, lack of fidelity to the law. The law doesn't apply to me. Okay. Idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outburst of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. Those are the things of the flesh. Why are we attracted to them? I don't know, but we are. I mean, at any given time, I don't think I actually ever participated in an orgy. Okay? But of the 14, okay, have I been pulled to all of those? Absolutely. Okay? And, you know, I didn't know about licentiousness, so I used to say I had 13 out of the 14, and then I found out what licentiousness was, and yeah, I do that too. None of those laws apply to me. Okay? I'm above the law. Why? It's this humanness. It's not the spiritual. It's the humanness of us. Okay? When you go to the fruits of the Spirit later on, peace, love, kindness, gentleness, these are all things of the Spirit. So I think that what happens with sin is when we stop either accepting that love that God pours out on us, or stop returning it, what we're doing is we're no longer living in the Spirit with God. We're living in the flesh. Why would we want to break that love that comes from God? Because in my human mind, it feels good. It tastes good. It you know, there's something that makes me feel more special when I have power over someone. Okay? Those are human things. They're definitely not spirit things. So when that humanness takes over above our spiritual nature, I think that's when we allow sin to come in. Does it make sense?
Just real quick.
Yeah, but that's always an excuse. I know about the group. No, it just drives me nuts. Because they'll do things that I'm not there to judge, but I would consider it simple. And then they'll look and they'll, again, because I wear my hairs on the sleeve, people know if I'm...
Could you talk just a little bit about...
I'm happy for sin. But I know people who would do what I would call sin. And they would look at me and all they would say is, that's just the human side of me. Which I find it is an unacceptable excuse. And then again,
it's the human side.
When he was talking about the circle, what I got was that when that circle is broken because we sin, because for whatever reason, it looks good, it feels good, whatever, is that us saying, or humanists saying that it doesn't, you know, it'll make you feel good to do it even though God doesn't want you to? Or is that the devil where he's always, he hates God, and he's always trying to pull us in the other direction? Or is it him whispering in our ear, kind of like the devil and the angel, you know, don't do that, or do that, you know, you can do it, you can do it, no, God won't know, you know, and no, don't do it, don't do it, you know what I mean? I mean, that evilness, that Satan always wanting to pull us into his pit.
We'll break that relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think part of the message that Satan has is that God's not going to take care of you. You've got to take care of yourself. And therefore, you've got to take what you need for yourself. That's, you know, it's that mistrust of God. It's the start of the sin. But then you are taking, and you are doing harm in taking as well.
So when he says to you, it's my humanness, say, no, that's the devil pulling you into his territory.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You see what he says, you know, and just make him think that it's not an excuse.
Yeah, I've heard different people say that.
But again, that would get back to the God made you defective. God made me defective, and therefore I can't help myself. No, made you perfect. Okay? And gave you free will to choose to do what's right. Our human weakness, yeah, that we are human. And we can say that that's what makes us sin. I still love God. I'm just human, so I sin. And yeah, that is a truth. We're still going to be held accountable for that.
See, I think that's okay. The part. Is that what bothers you? You think it sounds like the person saying, well, it's my humanness, so I have no responsibility.
Yes.
See,
yes.
What right. Frank added there, yeah. It may be your humanness, but we are still accountable.
Yeah.
That's the second half of the...
And not just accountable in the sense of
responsible.
End times, okay, and I mean, yes, that's always out there. And I sure hope God is merciful, okay? For my own sake and for a lot of others too. But I think that, you know, what I've come to realize is that I get hurt when I sin. I really do. I mean, now I've finally gotten to a point where I can live, I guess I'm living more spiritually, so that when I sin, I know it, okay? And I pay the price for that. And I can blame it on my own human weakness, but I'm getting really tired of it, you know? It's like, quit being so damn weak, Frank, and get over this, you know? Because, yes, I do believe that God is still, you know, going to love me. I can always ask Him for forgiveness, and I trust in His mercy. But, man, Frank, why do you keep banging your head against the wall? You know? Stop hitting your head against the wall. Maybe it won't hurt so much. So, there are repercussions. And, you know, for a long time I've heard other denominations talk about Catholics and sin, and that we sin all we want, and then we go to confession. Okay? Those who really take confession seriously know that doesn't work. Okay? Just doesn't work. Okay? And, you know, are there some people out there who are actually doing that? I don't know. Maybe. I know that there are people out there who go to reconciliation because we're supposed to go to reconciliation. That's not helping them. Okay? But if you open yourself up to the gift of reconciliation, it's really become reconciled to God. It's an incredible gift. Okay, but you know, as I've gotten closer to God, sin becomes much more visible for me. I used to call it closer to God syndrome. Okay, you know, back in the day, you know, before I had my wonderful conversion experience, I did a lot of things and it didn't bother me a bit. You know, and now it's like, how did I ever do that? So. You know, was it still a sin back then? Yeah, I think so. But I know that I couldn't have asked for forgiveness for it at that point in time. Because of the next thing that we're going to talk about at some point in time, and that's conversion. We're talking about conversion. Anyway, there's...